says you can't do it on the basis of complying with federal law.
Okay, so let's see. What do I want to do? The council member roles. So let's talk about that just for a minute in light of what Brian, who's on a phone call with his son in South America. Do we need to designate roles for council members? You know, like you said, Steve represents the council on the training committee. I don't know, I guess you're right, you or Will would be the representative to SWAP. I mean, is that?
Robert's also on SWAP, Rob.
What's that?
You're on SWAP?
Yes.
But I guess, do we need to designate though, who is the UPC representative on SWAP so that, you know, when an issue comes up to say what is the council's position they look to, and maybe not Will since he's all there on SWAP representing Salt Lake?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So Steve or Rob?
Well, that designated person, I mean, unless that's something the UPC's talked about and kind of said here are marching orders, they would just take that information and come back to the council.
Right, and that's what I mean is come back. I think the only time that, and it's far enough past, we've already talked about civil conferences, there was a time when the council, we took a position about civil conference and then SWAP was right after it and it was discussed and Jamie was very vocal and nobody from the council said anything or represented what we had just discussed at the council meeting. But, you know, water under the bridge is not a big deal, but I don't know if that's just because the person that was there for SWAP didn't know that they, you know, to pipe up for the council. I mean, I don't know. That's just one example. I'm just saying is, do we want to designate somebody from the council as the official council designee for SWAP?
I think unless there's an issue where we are sitting to SWAP saying yeah, we want input on this issue here, then there wouldn't be a need to have someone represent UPC all the time at SWAP meetings.
Okay.
Plus, is that an issue of, I guess I would feel, I've already said this, but a bit conflicted because I'm on the SWAP board, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
But,
as am I.
But then I
yeah. Oh, that's right.
Switch hats to UPC while I'm there. I don't. It just seems kind
of. Well, I don't think he's asking the saying that we would need to argue for UPC's position because, but just at least to explain what the position is.
Yeah.
I think right now and in the future, I would anticipate there is a large crossover between UPC members and SWAP board members. So I don't know that designating one person when there's so many
right
that are in both.
Okay. I'm not saying that we need to. I just wanted
that's
to know,
a good question.
You know, if the council felt that. Okay. What about OMPA?
Can I just comment
oh,
on
yeah
that? I think if there's a specific need, then we should ask you to attend SWAP board meetings.
Okay. And I try to attend as many as I can.
Yeah.
So as a council, if SWAP and or UCDA looks to me, can I speak on behalf of the council? Or do I say, here's what we talked about, but defer to the council member that is in those meetings?
Oh, I mean, you're...
If
in
there's
your
a
position,
vote
today,
I think
you should be
you
empowered to give
to advocate for however that
is voted. Especially on the issue of civil conference.
Okay, thank you. No, I genuinely mean that.
Don't give speed your proxy.
And I'm fine to do that. Like I said, is I try to attend those as much as possible. But so if the council's okay with that, then I can go and be the voice of the council. I'm deferring if I need to an actual council member that is there, or Steve's there, is the, and I realize he wouldn't be at SWAP as the chair, but so if that's okay, then okay. So then going back to OMPA, do we need a representative from the council? We have Ed, we've got Yvette, Robert, and Steve. Do we ask them to be the liaison with OMPA? Now, of all of the groups, are they really do, I mean, their focus is training. They've got an executive representative who does kind of the legislative stuff on the misdemeanor side, which is Ryan Robinson, who's now also the chair of SWAP. So, and I'm kind of digressing. do we want to have somebody from the council that interacts with OMPA and reports back, you know, from OMPA to this body, or do you want?
That's actually in the bylaws. That's Maryland's position and mine.
Oh, okay.
As staff. In OMPA's bylaws, that's what.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I obviously had not looked at them recently.
Liaison with the training coordinator and the traffic safety resource process.
Okay, never mind then. Looking at some of the past historical documents, they've been talking about ad hoc committees. Council members run ad hoc committees. I don't have any recollection. Steve or Marilyn, Craig, do you guys know?
There used to be a list of, I think there were a couple of entities that prosecution council actually put people on.
Okay, is that what that means? Because I've got that in here as well.
You had one on your software, didn't you? Didn't we have an ad hoc committee to look at switching to
right?
Are you referring to the training committee where we do those assignments? Is that what you're referring to?
Oh, there was one for that. So I'd say as needed.
So it wasn't like the council came up with, we want to look at this issue, and so three of the council members are going to do this. That's not what that was supposed to be.
That's what we did with the prosecutor.
Yeah, right.
The prosecutor type.
Yeah. Okay.
The training committee now.
Yeah, we got the training committee. We've got our e-prosecutor oversight committee. We've got now best practices. So I'm not going to worry about ad hoc. But in answer to the issue that Steve brought up, this is on page 5, under council meeting agendas, is one thing that we're not having.
There's page 5.
Ours are double-sided, so.
We have no page 5.
Sorry.
I have the full agenda. You have the shortened one. Okay, let me see. Oh, you are page 3, under 10B, Romanet 3. So these are the ones that I am aware of that have designees that Steve was saying ad hoc. So Craig Johnson's on the Children's Justice Advisory Board. Will is on the Criminal Code Evaluation Task Force. Kevin Daniels is on the Indigent Trust Fund Board. Janice represents the Criminal Law Section. And then Jen Bailey was just appointed to be on the Pawn Shop and Secondhand Merchandise Committee.
You have a pawn shop in the
We do now. I think it was created by statute last year. So, like I said, I put this under council meeting.
Dancers International.
Was that open selection? Because I didn't get an application.
No, that was Jen was actually on some pawn shop committee already, and when it was created, they contacted me and said, we'd really like to keep Jen, and I forgot to send it out to get applications, and they called me back and I said, just go with Jen. So, is anybody aware of any other committees that we appoint members to?
Just the one I alluded to.
Okay, yeah, so which one was that?
The Utah Youth Court Advisory Board.
Okay, so in the 5 years I've been here, youth court, I have never had anybody come to me asking for a new appointment. So whoever we appointed is still on there. But you said it used to be you, or?
No, it's been me since.
Oh, it currently is you. What do you do for that board?
I'm actually their certification and recertification committee. I'm also trying to keep them from jumping off the cliff here.
Aren't you the signatory on their account in the Caymans?
No.
Oh, that's that other committee you're on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not the signatory, I'm the beneficiary.
You're better.
So
I think that every now and again, these folks need to come back and report to us what's going on.
Right, okay, that's what I was going to say. As I started to do this a year ago, just getting written reports, but trying to get written reports back in time for council meeting, was difficult only because I only gave them a week. Do you want just written reports? I mean, I will reach out sooner, or would you like them to come in and actually report? Because I think I tried to do that one time as well.
I think the written report, kind of like how...
Yeah, the resource prosecutors.
Should we have them come in once a year?
can stagger them, however you want to do it.
Probably.
That wouldn't be a bad idea, just so you can see them.
See who they are.
Right, right, and so that they know that they're accountable to the council. Okay.
Have you done a search of the code?
I have not.
It might not be a bad idea. You may be surprised that there may be another 7 or 8 entities for which you will have the opportunity to
appoint.
You may not want to. the boxing commission, or I mean, there's who knows. But there's we did this once, I think with might have been with the AG or something, and there were like 712. Either AG or designee spots. Mm-hmm. None that you really care about, but you ought to just check.
Okay.
Just because it.
Do they serve on these boards just as long as they want to?
Well, no, most of them have bylaws. I mean, that's how I found out. How I found out about most of these is the whatever agency is responsible for it said so and so is, like, for example, on the Indigent Trust Fund, it used to be Brody Kiesel. Just said that his time is coming up, would you either reappoint or nominate somebody? So that's the only way I found out.
That's where mine is right there.
Yeah.
The other advantage of the bylaws, I don't know if this is addressed in your statute, has anyone ever offered to donate money?
Yes, but because we're a state agency, we can't.
Well, no, some can. You know, the AG's office can accept donations.
Oh,
and okay. Juvenile Justice Services can accept donations, as it can many of the other divisions within the Department of Human Services. I think there are other agencies that are authorized by statute that can.
Mm-hmm.
Most organizations like yours either have bylaws that direct how they're done. You may want to just think about some of it's for protection.
Mm-hmm.
If the Aryan Nation, in support of prosecutors wants to donate money, you may decide that's not money that you particularly want.
Right, right.
And if you can say, well, our bylaws, we have to get approval from our executive committee, there are some protections that even limited bylaws would give you where you don't have to say, I don't know, we just don't like you guys.
Right, okay.
We've been more in the practice of donating money out, not ever receiving any. I don't know of anything that we've ever accepted.
Well, Janice was just asking.
Know of.
Yeah, Janice just was telling me that the criminal law section is interested in donating money. So you're right. I have considered that, but it would be more like, okay, they're going to help fund one of our conferences. But
that's still a donation, and then you'd have to decide how do you account for it. I will tell you that the UTIP is just a working group in our office that does the human trafficking grant. They've received inquiries about certain nonprofits wanting to donate. And usually they are people who want to kind of hijack the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're doing human trafficking? We are the Homeless Association of the blah blah group, and we'd like to also be part of the against human trafficking, because
right.
then we can use your
right.
There's a lot out there in social media and stuff. You'd be surprised. Having bylaws that require some kind of a vote or review or something could give you some protection.
Okay. All right, so that we do need to talk about bylaws then. Okay.
Not here, but
right, yeah.
At some point.
So any of the roles then the council members need to be performing above and beyond what you are currently doing? Okay, I can't think of any. Okay, we need to talk about, and maybe bylaws, is the responsibilities of the chair. Steven, what are your responsibilities, Steve? And this is for new people that may move into these positions, as I don't know that there's anything that is defined. Yeah, I know. Okay, so.
Carson? Well, generally, I mean, just kind of approve the agenda, run the meeting, but if issues have come up, then.
Sign the certificates of completion for the UPA.
That's right. Yep.
She's just, I know that.
And how long is Steve doing this?
It's a 2-year rotation. Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
2-year rotation. So you are voted as chair-elect for 2 years, and then you're chair for 2 years, and then we don't really have a chair.
You also wind up serving on the training committee.
Yes, okay.
And who's the chair-elect?
We do not have one, so.
Generally, the rotation has been, we've just kind of done this as an informal rotation, it's been 2 counties and then a city.
We try to go large,
that's
small.
That's traditionally how we've done that. We haven't had a large county on for a long time, so it's just always been.
Yeah, because I think, is it, Casey, again, I guess this would be a bylaw issue, is, and my understanding is that our de facto members are not considered, or I don't want to say eligible, but don't serve as the chair.
Correct.
So Salt Lake, AG, DPS, and UPAA, they would never serve as the chair of the council. That's not stated anywhere, so that would be a bylaw issue I guess we would need to address. So who was our largest county then of the four? Morgan?
We're 12,000 people total.
How many are you?
It's bigger than me.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You mean by population?
Yeah,
too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of the current sir. We have alternated. We did have Jeff Buman, I think, was president, and this is before you were.
Yeah.
You were here.
And we had the Beaver County attorney.
Right. So I, you know, what Steve's saying is
we didn't have Salt Lake because Salt Lake was always automatically
yeah.
president of the swap.
Yeah.
But that's changed too.
Yeah.
In the last several years.
But
so,
as Sim indicated, our role with this organization shifts to more of a supportive one.
Yeah.
Because of us doing so much internally.
Right.
Right.
Right. So in the past, I'll tell you, this is my fourth term on the council. So,
yeah.
You know, when I first started, we did have the larger counties were more involved in being chaired and things of that nature than they are now.
Yeah.
That's changed over the last 10 years.
And the only reason I bring it up is, you know, is there any reason to even have an official, you know, large county, small county, city? We just go whoever's willing to serve.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think we're up in the rotation. To do that.
Yeah. So, okay, so any other duties for the council chair?
Well, I mean, obviously when personnel issues arose, we had to get
okay.
involved in the administration yes. of the CSL.
Yeah.
Personnel and HR issues, I mean, they both, I mean.
So Stephen, you weren't here. We were talking this before you got here. If there's ever an issue where the chair of the council needs to present or you know make some argument or whatever before the legislature, you're saying that maybe that should be the council chair or the co-chair as opposed to like the director.
When it comes to either requesting amendments to the UPC statute or talking about legislation that would affect UPC.
Yeah, right, it was with the Judkins issue. So is that, put that on here as so make legislative appearances?
After consultation with the Attorney General's office.
Right.
And the board.
Oh
okay. Anything else? And so again, it's not just to help Steve as the current chair, but to inform the rest of you what you know you can expect because we do need to elect a chair-elect. Staff members, what else? Is there anything else that we need to add to that list? Just coordinate with UPC staff.
I think coordinating with the Attorney General's office also is a big thing.
Okay.
I know that there's been issues in the past where it's put you in a really difficult situation to try and resolve some of those.
Yeah, we have had to do a few of those.
We hired
Bob and one of them.
Yeah. Okay. Staff, anything else then?
The AG would rather not coordinate at all.
Can we do that from your outfit?
Exactly. That too. That is also part of our vision statement.
I know.
We need to get the pop guns out now.
Oh, that's true, they are there. Yeah, the dart guns are in the bucket.
That is totally fine. I know Will is still smarting from the...
I feel both irrelevant and ineffective.
Yes. From the decimation of his draft. So I don't take that personally at all.
Okay. Okay, so I'll take this back and we'll reduce... Oh, by the way, I'm going to reduce a lot of this to a council member book. Not that I'm going to send you a book, but it will have electronic, I'll send it to you. You know, the mission statement, some of these other documents that we've generated. So we'll include part of this. So now it's time to elect a chair-elect. And so it was county. It was Barry.
You were last one.
No, Barry Huntington.
I was the last city guy.
Weren't you last before me?
No.
Well, Barry assumed the leadership for maybe a year. Yeah, and so then when he resigned membership on the council, it fell to you as the chair-elect.
Okay. I'd nominate Robert Gosen.
Second. He didn't say no.
Closed nomination?
Second.
Kind of one acclamation, there we go.
All right, we had a motion, a second, a motion to close the nomination, so... all in favor of Robert Gosen?
Aye.
That was Steve Garside with the motion.
Yes. Who seconded it? Was it? Oh yeah.
Well, I got that.
All right, Robert. Would you like to vote nay? You're outvoted.
I'll abstain.
His comment was, "If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve."
Okay. All right. Thanks, Robert. Okay. Let's see. So bylaws. How do we want to do bylaws? We're not going to do them now. I don't know that we want to do them tomorrow.
They should not be done by group.
Okay.
I think you and your staff do a draft.
Is that how we do
and
it?
Present it. And it's basically what stuff you need to best manage. And you probably consult with Steve.
Yeah.
About what stuff you need to control membership, duration, scope of duties, some things like that.
Okay.
Donations, maybe if...
Okay.
Allowing the use of the UPC brand.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously. And in fact, you could probably... Tracy has a good one.
Okay.
Well, it's a fairly comprehensive one
that
I wrote 25 years ago, but they're just handy.
Right. any thoughts as we go into that, though? Guys from the council?
OOPA has... model you could go by, and so
is UPAA. Right, but I think I like these other additional issues that Craig is raising that we hadn't thought about. You know, our brand, because our state logo there. I've had a couple people ask me if that's copyrighted. They want to use it, and I tell them it is, and I applied for copyright. But yeah, I hadn't thought about that. In terms of membership, that was one of the things that I wanted to talk about. I know we've got some really long-term serving members. How do you guys feel about just keeping serving? Is there some point where we say, okay?
No, I will just tell you, if you have a group that really work,
keep them.
A bylaw allows you.
Yeah.
And we did this three or four times with the CJC advisory board. One time I went to the bar and just said, we are exercising our authority, our prerogative to ask you to reappoint somebody else because this person is basically sabotaging everything we do.
Yeah.
Another time, we had somebody who had served the two terms which our bylaws allowed, and that person wanted to have an unprecedented third term, and we exercised the provision of the bylaw because the staff were threatening to get into the parking lot after this meeting and beat him up, so we thought that would be bad.
Okay.
So every once in a while you get a rogue member or one that's kind of off tune, and it's helpful to have some organizational structure that allows you perhaps to say, sorry, it wasn't anything personal, we just, we have a two-term limit.
Okay. All right, so we will work on that. We'll have something to the council for January. I mean, we'll try to get it to you sooner, you know, to start, get some going back and forth and commenting on that. UPC policies. Now, we follow the AG policy, and the statute says, you know, I was talking about, I think, the hiring. It says, as long as it doesn't conflict with the statute, AG policy, state personnel policy. Do we want to adopt any specific UPC policies? I know the one that came up a couple of years ago that we resolved is if I get a call from the media, if it's strictly relating to UPC business, I don't need to get prior approval from the AG. Now, of course, I run it by them, but is that the policy that we want, or do we want it to be, even if it's UPC, run it past the AG first? Craig, any thoughts?
Right now, almost anything you ask me to do, I'm going to say sure.
Yeah.
Because you exercise very good judgment, and we have a good working relationship.
Yeah.
I cannot speak to the future, and you may want some flexibility that maybe you clear it only with your chair.
Yeah.
I will say that, however, then you'll have to accept the consequences of regular opprobrium and some potential for ostracism. And that's just your call.
Yeah.
So you're talking about non-exempt or exempt?
No, I'm talking about
comments to the media.
Like comments to the media. I'm just thinking of, do you want us as staff to look at, you know, the AG policy, and if there's any exceptions, I mean, because that's the only one that I can think of that we've created, that little tiny exception, is if it's strictly dealing with a media inquiry about the prosecution counsel. Anything else, I don't comment on or refer to back to the AG office, but does that require a written policy?
Well, I think we already did that, though. I think that was sort of negotiated with the AG's office.
But it was never formalized. That's what I mean.
Right, it wasn't formalized, but yeah. I think we went through that and we had that discussion.
What's the thing that you just did about a month ago that you and I talked about not keeping these stats? It wasn't a UPC.
Oh no, it was the Prosecutor Center of Excellence survey.
Yeah, and we talked about a draft that kind of responded without answering because it was stuff that we didn't know, and it also gave some. By the way, we're really busy. We don't go around, you know, counting how many pages we have in every information and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. So, policy. Do I need to write up a policy, or we
just charge the
address it?
Oh, we try to do at least 40% as a target.
More of a problem. More of a problem.
We would have the exchange back and forth because they'd want to look at it. And
Okay. All right. So we'll just go as. As we continue.
As Sandy loves to say, out of an abundance of caution.
Abundance of caution.
We probably still go ahead and run it by the AG's office and whoever happens to be the chair.
Perfect. Okay. In our last 15 minutes, Ron, can you give us the e-prosecutor rundown?
Sure.
As I interrupted your thought. So we'll do
I'm working on the e-prosecutor issue. Yeah. That's okay.
So tomorrow, if we start at 8:30 as opposed to 8, and we should be done by noon. I know Craig and Janice have some other obligations, but is that okay with everybody else, 8:30? Okay, all right, Ron.
Okay, just basically the number of agencies who have signed up and returned signed agreements. We've reached the total number of users per our contract that was paid for through the grants. So now we're at a situation where anybody else wants to come on, then we don't have the money to pay for it. So I think Bob and I talked about it extensively and thought that it was fair that the ones that come on that have not already got assigned agreements would need to pay that fee themselves, at least for the first year until we get, we're going to apply for another grant. We'll see if we get money, then that would take care of it going forward. Is that what we make sure I'm not saying anything? The cost of the licenses, additional license above the 150, is right around $1,262.
Yeah.
Per user per year.
And that's kind of what we talked about as a council when we went into this. Is we weren't sure if we were going to get to 150, But that was with the understanding that anybody that didn't sign up, you know, right away and sign the memorandum of agreement, once we got to 150, then they were obligated